So sick. So good. Hi, how are you? We good? Good, hi. Hey, I'm Ben, I'm the teaching pastor, glad you're here. Before we jump into today, I just real quickly wanna say on the Brighton stuff. So I was set up to be the Brighton campus pastor. I wanna tell you, if you're frustrated, I get that. You know, I'm frustrated too. You know, because I got my own plans, my own timeline, and my own idea of what I want God to do with our church, and it turns out like it was just different than his idea. And so I want you to know, if you feel frustrated, I get that, and that's fine. At the same time, like, I really have put my trust in who God is. I've trusted him to lead our church, and I've trusted him to do what he wants to do with our future. And so I really do genuinely believe that there is a door that's going to be opened, and whatever door he opens will be like vastly greater than the doors I've been trying to violently kick in for the last few months. So anyway, all I wanna say is, if that's you and you wanna talk about that, please don't hesitate to talk to me. Don't feel shy. Come talk to me in the lobby if you're here at this campus, or shoot me an email. Ben_Foot@flatironchurch.com, and we'll talk about it. Unless your email's nasty, if you want to send a mean email, you send that to Scott_Nickel at something South something Church. You can figure it out. Anyway, hi. Okay, let's jump into today. This is our second week of our series called 90,000, all right? This is our series on work and your career and our jobs. The reason that we've called it 90,000 is because that is the average amount of hours you will spend at work in your lifetime, 90,000 hours. Like we talked about last week, that's 22% of your waking life you'll be spending at work. And I wanna, you know, plow today right into some new territory. To do that, we gotta refresh our memories on two things that we learned last week real quick, all right? First thing we need to refresh our memory of is this. We learned last week that according to God, work matters, and it matters because we're joining God in making something great of this place. Okay, so in case you missed last week, work is important to God, it's important to us, and he created us to do it. We're moving the creation project forward. We're making something great of this place. It's the first thing we need to remember. Second thing we need to remember is this. The ability to work is actually the very first gift. It was a gift that God gave humanity. Work is supposed to be a good thing in our lives. But we also learned that the good gift of work is now under a curse. Right? So work itself is a good thing for us, but it's under a curse now, riddled with complications. It's gonna be difficult. It'll threaten to consume you and define your entire worth. Right, those are kind of the two pieces of information we all need to have in order to talk about something different today. And today, what we're gonna talk about, this is really for anyone in the room who thinks that your job is purposeless or pointless or meaningless. Right, it's for anyone in the room who looks at what you do for a living, and it's like, man, what I do for a living just straight doesn't matter. Because that's a terrible feeling, right? It's a terrible feeling that I'm very familiar with. I mean, I'll have that feeling in this job, even as a pastor. You know, I talked a little bit about that last week. I don't need to rehash it. But even before this job, I just had nothing but a history of jobs that I thought were completely pointless, right? Or maybe a better way of saying it, I thought they were the only point of those jobs was to put some extra money into my pockets. And it's a terrible feeling, right? Like, that started like when I entered the workforce. So the very first like official paycheck I ever earned outside of mowing lawns and stuff like that was through Chick-fil-A. I was one of those people. And so we knew the manager at a Chick-fil-A. She snuck us in so that I could work at age 14 when legally I wasn't supposed to work there till I was 15. But I've discovered over the years they hired very many people illegally at this Chick-fil-A. Fine, whatever. So that was just a normal high school job working at Chick-fil-A. I was in trouble all of the time because I would not tuck my shirt in and I refused to say my pleasure. I refused for reasons that I think are reasonable. I think it's a creepy thing to say. So, that job was whatever. College, on summer breaks, I would come back home to Dallas. I'd work at a sandwich shop called Potbelly. They're starting to open these around here. Go check it out, good sandwiches. One time I was working at Potbelly and I was cutting bread and I had gloves on and everything, and I'm cutting bread and I nick my finger and it starts bleeding. And the guy I'm working with is like, I'll clean up the station. Like, you go rinse out the cut, put a Band-Aid on, get back to work. I'm like, great, no problem. You know how like really bad injuries don't hurt really bad right away? That was this one. So I go back to the sink and I take the glove off and there's blood everywhere. I turn the sink on and I put my hand under it to rinse my finger, and the pressure of the water took my fingertip down to the bone and was just like, and it was hanging by a thread. It was pretty brutal. I'm not proud of this. I'm ashamed to say it, but I saw that and immediately passed out. I tried to convince myself for a little while that I passed out due to loss of blood because that sounds more manly, you know? But really, it was just like, that's my finger bone. And then I passed out. Has nothing to do with today, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. I went to the ER and the doctor was like, yeah, it's really bad. And, you know, if we sew it back on, I'm not sure, like, it'll take. Like, I think it'll stay dead. And so he's like, there's two options. We can try to reattach your finger, or we can just go ahead and amputate it now and get that over with. And I was like, well, let's, you know, try to reattach my finger, you know? Like, let's give that one the college try, doc. Yeah. And it worked. I got my fingers, you know? Only really hurts on a cold day. So I'm getting so distracted. I had jobs that I thought were pointless. That's the point. I dabbled in computer animation for a hot minute. That's a little known fact about me. I was a book editor, worked at a magazine, worked at a tech startup, worked at a library. But probably one of the worst jobs for me in terms of feeling like it was pointless was when I worked for about a year and a half at Starbucks, all right? Now, I want to say, nothing against the organization of Starbucks, and there's nothing wrong with working at a Starbucks, of course. Instead, for me, the reason it was so hard was a phase of life thing for me. All right, because I had been married to Allie for just a couple years. We had just moved here to Colorado, and so we're in this new place. I'm trying to get into the magazine industry. I worked at one magazine for a little bit. It was a bad experience. I'm looking for work at another magazine. In between the job search, I'm working at Starbucks to make money, and it was just this phase of life thing. Like, part of it had to do with being recently married. Like, I really wanted to prove to Allie, like, you don't have to worry about me. You don't have to worry about my career in the magazine world. And part of it was, like, Allie had immediate success in her career as a dental hygienist. And so there was part of it that was like, dude, you gotta, like, get your act together because she's outpacing you, right? It was a phase of life thing. And so I was in this bad headspace every morning I woke up. I worked the morning shift. And so I'd wake up at 3:30 in the morning and I'd crawl into Starbucks and I'd put that green apron on and I would start tying it and I would think to myself, like, dude, you're failing, right? Like, you're letting Allie down, you're letting yourself down, and now you're in this pointless job, doesn't make any impact on the world. You're barely making money. You know, on top of that, you gotta wear a green apron. That sucks, you know? Just in bad headspace. It was starting to show at work too, like I was starting to come uncorked. Like, we had this one guy, he was a regular customer who, to put it politely, was very particular about his dry cappuccino. And there was one time that we didn't make his cappuccino to his, like, absolutely perfect standards. And so he took the lid off and threw hot coffee on another employee. Yeah, brutal. And she was like this sweet, quiet little girl in high school who played cello. I was like, don't screw with her. And I lost it. Like, I used it as this excuse to blow off, like, all this pent-up steam, and I have a bit of an anger problem, which surprises some people. And so I come unglued on this dude, and I took this cup, and I threw it at his expensive suit, and I was like, I'm not making your coffee, I'm not giving you your money back, and if I ever see your face in here again, I'm gonna throw hot coffee on you. I said a lot of four-letter words during that tirade. He was frustrated, he left, never saw him again. I got officially written up for my behavior. Worth it. You're a terrible employee, and we appreciate that. I was just unsatisfied there, right? Like, I dreaded every hour of work, all right? And that lasted for months until there's this one day that this regional manager came into our store for a training day. Okay, still don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember her name. I don't remember what the training day was about. All I remember is what she said to us off the cuff at the end of this training because it changed the way that I viewed my job, changed my outlook at work. So she's packing stuff up into her briefcase and she kind of pauses and gets like lost in thought. She's staring into the distance for a second and then she snaps back to reality and she looks at us and she goes, okay, you know what? Listen. She goes, I'm gonna tell you why you're important to me. And I'm gonna tell you why you're important to your community. And then she said one sentence that I thought about every single day I worked at Starbucks after that, and I still think about it today. She looked at us and she goes, listen, you don't serve coffee, you serve people. And then she gave this like elaborate, inspiring, like beautiful vision around why maybe working at Starbucks isn't a waste of my time. Maybe it's actually important. This great vision. She's like, listen, every single person that comes through our drive-thru has a very real life. And she's like, it's the single mom, and she's got an hour break in between her first job and her second job, and this coffee is the only moment she has to collect herself. And she's like, this coffee's going into the hands of the dude who's half asleep because he's working 80-hour weeks. He's trying to get his app up and off the ground and running, and we're waking him up and getting him to work so that he can see his dreams come true. And she just kept going. She's like, people are having their first dates in your store, and later they're going to be happily married with kids. People come here to celebrate and cope, and they come here to get to work, and they come here to get a break. And she kept saying that one sentence over and over again. You don't serve coffee, you serve people. It was really good leadership. And so she says this thing that like I needed to hear, like I really needed to hear it to get through my day-to-day at Starbucks, and it was like actually very profound for me. I'm like, this lady treats serving coffee like we're rescuing the world, you know? And I was like, it was just really profound, and she just kind of drops this vision on us. And then after that, she like pauses, and then she's like, okay, well, see ya, you know? It's like, sell our seasonal muffins or whatever. And then she disappeared and out of my life forever. Right? I still worked at Starbucks for months after that. I still knew it wasn't what I wanted to do with my long-term career. I was still looking for work in the magazine world. It still sucked to wake up at 3:30 in the morning every single day. But you know what? I didn't dread it anymore. Because this regional manager gave me a reason to be at work that was bigger than just selling coffee or just making minimum wage for myself. I wasn't serving coffee. I wasn't serving myself. I was serving people. And even though I didn't realize it at the time, and I have no idea what this lady believes in terms of faith, what she gave me is a very Jesus-like vision for how to go to work. And I believe that same Jesus-like vision applies to you in whatever job you have right now. Last week, we talked about how work matters. Like the general act of working matters to God, matters to the world. Today, I want to drive home the truth that what you do for work matters. Like specifically, your job, it matters to the world and it matters to God. But we usually don't see it that way, right? Typically, the reason we don't see it that way is because we categorize stuff. We have compartments that we put our lives into. There's nothing wrong with that. That's normal, right? So we just have categories. We go, you know, there's things over here that I do for my physical health, and then there's things over here that I do for my mental health. Those are categories, right? There's things I do out of responsibility, things I do for fun. There are football games, and then there's whatever the Broncos did to themselves last week, you know? Those are categories and compartments, all right? One of the categories that is not very helpful for us, though, is this, and we do it all the time. We say there's stuff over here that is Jesus stuff, and then there's stuff over here that is not Jesus stuff. What we mean by that is, you know, there's like praying and reading your Bible and volunteering in a homeless shelter and going to church like we're doing now, and that's Jesus stuff. And then over here is a bunch of stuff that's not Jesus stuff because I'm just cooking dinner or paying the bills or changing diapers or I'm catching up on my favorite TV show. That's like not Jesus stuff, and then this stuff is. But the problem with taking our life and separating it into categories of Jesus stuff and not Jesus stuff is that by far the overwhelming majority of your life would fit into the category of not Jesus stuff. I mean, just think about it. Like, how often do you spend time praying and reading your Bible and then holding baby lambs and talking to groups of children like Jesus does in paintings? Like, how much time do you spend doing that kind of Jesus stuff versus like literally everything else you got to take care of in this life? Far outweighs the Jesus stuff. And then what happens if we buy into that lie, it's subconscious, we don't really realize we're doing it, but we begin to imagine that there's this little tiny section of our life that Jesus cares about, all right? He's deeply invested and he's cheering you on. And then there's this massive section of your life that's not Jesus stuff and he's going like, meh, whatever. You know, just do your thing, just take care of business. It's a bad way of viewing our world because what we do is, when we buy into those compartments, we take this massive, worldwide, history-spanning, powerful thing called the kingdom of God, the with God life, and we shrink it down to 1 hour a week that you sit in these seats, and it's a shame because it's bigger than that. What does this have to do with work in our 90,000 series? Well, if we categorize stuff by Jesus stuff and not Jesus stuff, then we usually buy into one of two lies about work. Right, the first lie that we buy into about work is that work is not Jesus stuff. It just can't be Jesus stuff. Here's what maybe this looks like for you. So on the weekend when you're here at church, you're all in, right? You volunteer. You volunteer at guest services or kids ministry or whatever. You sing the songs. Maybe you even put your hands up and like something crazy like that. And you listen to the talk and you take notes. And then maybe you even give money in the buckets on the way out the door, right? You're all in. But then Monday rolls around and you just go to the office. And you go to the office and you just take care of business just like everyone else. Or you go home because you're a stay-at-home parent. You're just taking care of business like every other parent. right? You go to the office, you go to the cashier counter, wherever you work, and you're just taking care of business, right? Don't have any grand vision or purpose for why your job is more important than just making a little bit of money. And whenever we do that, we tell ourselves, we go, it's just not Jesus stuff, right? I'm just selling shoes for a living, right? I'm just balancing accounts. I'm just going door to door. I'm taking care of business. It's not Jesus stuff. And when we do that, we don't really realize we're doing it, but when we compartmentalize our job into not Jesus stuff, malaise sets in, boredom sets in. This is why you think your work is purposeless and pointless and meaningless. This is when we start going, I'm spending 90,000 hours of my life doing something that doesn't matter. Why? Well, because it's not Jesus stuff. What we mean by that is like it's universally, objectively, like not important. It's the first lie we buy into. Work is not Jesus stuff. The second lie we buy into is almost the same thing. It's just a little more specific. We believe that some work is Jesus stuff, but only if it's overtly Christian. So we believe that the only way for our 90,000 hours of work to be like to matter to God and matter to the world and matter to ourselves is if it's Christian. Like you gotta go work at a church and be a pastor like I am, or go become a missionary or start a nonprofit organization, as if that's the only way to not waste 90,000 hours of your life. But we tell ourselves that. And so we go, yeah, I'm a musician, but I have to make specifically Christian music. Right? Or you're a teacher, but I gotta work at a Christian private school. I own a business, but I gotta put the Christian fish on my business card. None of those things are bad things, of course, but it's definitely screwed up to think that that's the only way your 90,000 hours of life called work is going to matter to God and matter to the world and matter to you. When we slip into this way of thinking that there's Jesus stuff and not Jesus stuff, one of the many results is that we begin to view our jobs as if they are unimportant and they have no lasting impact on the world around us. We're just taking care of business. The bummer is that that couldn't be further from the truth that we find in the Bible. In the Bible, God drives home the point that every single aspect of your life is Jesus stuff, and that includes your job, which means the Bible drives home the truth that your job is Jesus stuff. I want to explain how. All right, this idea is summed up quickly and neatly by a guy named Paul. He wrote a lot of the New Testament, and he said this. He says, whatever you do, right? In the context of this passage, he's talking about employer-employee relationships. He's talking about work. So he goes, whatever you do for work, work at it with all of your heart, as if you're working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. And then he says, it is the Lord Christ you are serving at your job. That verse basically says, whatever job you have, work at it with all of your heart. Give it the full nine yards. Pour yourself into it as if Jesus himself were your boss. Work at your job as if you genuinely understand that your job is Jesus stuff. And again, we want to argue that right off the bat, and I get that because it doesn't compute immediately. And so we go, well, how? How is my job Jesus stuff? Like I just repair roofs or manage a warehouse, or you know, I go door to door, I clean people's houses, right? Yes, that's what you do for a living, and it's Jesus stuff. Well, why do I say that? Well, let's take a quick look at the kind of stuff that Jesus does. One of my favorite summaries of who Jesus is and what he's all about is found in his biographies in the Bible. This verse I'm gonna read, it's Jesus himself telling us his vision statement for his life, his vision statement for his mission and his job. And he says this, is Jesus speaking. He says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. What he says is, hey, what's actually important in this life, actually valuable in this life is that you serve other people. And he says, serve other people like I serve other people, just as the Son of Man, that's Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's Jesus' vision statement for his life. And that's crazy because that's our God speaking to us. And our God just told us, hey, I'm not here for you to serve and attend to me. I am here to serve and attend to you for your own good. And that's exactly what we see Jesus doing with the 33 years that he spent as a human on this planet. His career as a carpenter, his career as a teacher, his different roles as son or friend or miracle worker or social activist, and ultimately Messiah, in all of those roles you see him serving people. And in that verse we just read, he says, now join me in that kind of life. If you want to serve me, then you're going to serve other people just like I do. And that is why your job is Jesus stuff. because whether we understand it yet or not, I hope we understand it by the end of this talk, but whether we're there yet or not, your work is one of the ways that you serve other people. Work is one of the ways that we serve each other. That is what your job is all about. And it might sound like idealism, like a cute way of thinking about your job. It's not idealism, it's realism. I'll explain that. So have you ever imagined, actually imagine it now, have you ever imagined what our country would look like if everyone in America just stopped working, right? It would be fun for like an hour or so, right? I got free time, right? But really, what are you gonna do? You know, no one's working on your favorite TV show. No one's working to make sure Netflix is running. No one's working at your favorite restaurant, and no one is working on making dumb memes of cats with bow ties eating dinner or whatever we laugh at these days. Like, there'd be nothing to do. And then within a few days, our country would resemble a post-disaster landscape, literally. I read this article that was fascinating that asked the question, what would happen if everyone in America stopped working for a week? And the article was like, yeah, like within days, it would be basically the apocalypse. We would eventually have no electricity. There'd be no communications, no water pumped to your house, no waste treatment. None of that stuff would exist. You know, there'd be no natural gas supply. You could eventually only travel as far as you could walk. Fires would have to burn themselves out. There's no fire department. Criminal activity would skyrocket. There's no police force. National security would be a ticking time bomb. There's no military. If you get in a car wreck, good luck, all right? There is no hospital because there's no doctors. There's no plaster for your cast in the first place. If you get hungry, good luck. There's no grocery stores because there's no shipping and there's no farming of the food in the first place. And if you go knocking on the front door of City Hall to figure out what's wrong with your town, it's locked. No one's working there anymore. It would be a disaster. Like, the truth is that the only difference between our thriving culture that we live in today and whatever you're gonna do for the rest of your Sunday to enjoy your weekend, the only difference between that and like the apocalyptic Walking Dead scenario I painted, the only thing keeping us from that is work. It's hundreds of millions of people serving one another through their careers and keeping this place afloat. And that's just true. I mean, the fact that we're able to sit in here comfortably and listen in church to what God has to say about work, that's only made possible because of millions of people working to serve us. It took people to make your car and fill it with gas and keep the streetlights working so you could drive here. It took people to make tools and cut down the trees and mill the lumber to build this place. It took people to create and maintain the internet and computers so that I could type a talk and then edit and re-edit and re-edit whatever dumb poop joke I'm making that week, right? There's still one more in this talk. Listen, here's what I'm trying to say. Jesus says every now and then it would serve us well to zoom out. All right? Step back out of the cubicle that you spend your whole life in and look at the big picture. Because he says the big picture vision of why your work is important is because you are serving the world through your career. Work is one of the ways that we serve each other, which is why your job is Jesus stuff. Before you just think this is all theory, all right, I wanna give you a good picture of what this looks like in reality. So earlier this year, Allie and I, we had a sewer drain like overflow and it flooded our entire basement with our own sewage. So that was a real, real nice time. And so I got connected with a plumber. He was like a friend of a friend. I didn't know the dude. He goes here to Flatirons. I'm gonna change his name to Steve because I didn't get a chance to talk to him and ask permission to tell this story. So Steve, if you're here, come talk to me in the lobby. It'd be cool to see you. I also hope it's cool that I'm sharing the story because it's far too late to stop. So Steve comes over. He's got the big like snake scope, you know, a camera on the end of the snake to look at the pipes. And so we're huddled in the crawl space of my house and he's just working. And as he's working, he's telling me kind of his life story. And he tells me, like my dad was a pastor just like you are. You know, and I always kind of thought that I'd have to go into the family business of working at a church, but I also just had different skill sets. He's like, I'm good with my hands. I'm good mechanically. And so I became a plumber. And he told me that for like a long time, he kind of felt guilty or he felt bad about not following in his dad's footsteps and going into ministry, you know, until one day he had this epiphany while he was at work. So he's just at this job one day and he said they had this epiphany. He's like, I just realized that like what I do for a living, I help people fix massive problems that they cannot fix themselves, which is true. Like as a pastor, like part of my job is to help you and myself kind of deal with the crap in our lives. And Steve's job is to like deal with the crap in your lives, you know? That was it. That was the joke, check mark. But he said that. He's like, I go into the nastiest, grossest, crappiest parts of people's lives. And he goes, and if I do my job well, by the time I leave, I have objectively made their lives better. And then he looks at me and he said this. He goes, man, my job is a ministry no less than my dad's was. And that is the exactly correct way of looking at work. He's absolutely right. Steve's job is Jesus stuff, no less than his dad's was, no less than my job is Jesus stuff. Why? Because he's serving his world and he's serving it very well. You are too. Your job is Jesus stuff. I would hope that for most of us in this room, we're connecting dots, right? And at the very least, for most of us in the room, we're going like, okay, cool. Like that's a cool way of viewing my job. I've never looked at it that way. But the trick is not just knowing that what you do for work matters, knowing that your job is Jesus stuff. The trick is operating out of that place. Operating out of the place, like Jesus said, whatever you do it with all of your heart because you know that you're serving the world around you. And so how do we latch on to Jesus's vision of work as serving the world? Like what is one step we can take in the direction of understanding that your job is not pointless, your job is not purposeless, it's a ministry, it's Jesus stuff. Well, I think the regional manager from Starbucks had the right idea. I think we need vision statements for why our jobs matter in this world. Remember, she told me, she's like, you don't serve coffee, you serve people. She gave me a vision for the importance of my job, and it changed my outlook on my job. It changed my actual day-to-day happiness working there. And so I want to throw out an idea, right? It's an exercise that you can work on. It's something you can craft today or craft later this week that could help make your 90,000 hours feel as fruitful and exciting and as important as they truly are. And the exercise is to write a vision statement for your job. Well, Ben, that sounds corny. Well, Jesus had a vision statement for his job. We just talked about that. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He knew clearly what his mission was, and he knew how it served the world. He was never distracted from it. Bible says that he set his face towards the cross. Nothing was going to stop him from getting there. Jesus had a vision statement for his job. Why don't we? Let's just try it. Specifically, by the end of the week, fill in the following blank for your job. At work, I serve people by, how would you fill in the blank? Do the work and figure it out. I believe that Jesus's vision of work being our way of serving the world, I believe it is the accurate vision of work, which means I believe, no, you don't just sell cars. I believe that Jesus uses you to serve people by getting them where they need to go. You get them to work and to school and to the hospital on time. So well done, and thank you for your service. And no, you don't just work in IT. Jesus uses you to serve people by keeping them connected to one another. Businesses float or sink based on how well you do your job. Families and friends can talk to each other from across the world because of you. Well done, and thank you for your service. And no, you don't just repair shingles. Jesus uses you to serve people by literally keeping a roof over their head. That's like one of the three things we need to survive on this planet. So well done, and thank you for your service. What is your vision statement for your job? I did this work for myself. Here's how I filled in the blank for myself. I did this a few years ago. So at work, I serve people by making God's word engaging. I don't hit that target every time, but I'm trying. I want to take this book that a lot of people see as stuffy or irrelevant or confusing and show you that none of it is that way. It's actually life-giving and it's exciting and it's relevant. And this vision statement has helped me. It's helped me eliminate distractions. So when I'm at work, I'm like, is the way I'm spending my time serving that purpose, serving that mission? It's helped me on days where work sucks and I want to tap out because it feels like pointless. You know, I talked about that last week. Most of all, it's given me a vision for why my job is more than just earning a paycheck for myself. It's given me a target to set my face towards. That's mine. What would your vision statement be? At work, I serve people by what? Figure it out and write it down. Tape it to your dashboard, tape it to your bathroom mirror, write it on a sticky note, stick it on the back of your boss's bald head or whatever, just, you know, anything to not forget it. At work, I serve people by what? Just start there. It's a little step, but I can't think of a reason why not to take that step. You know, at the very worst, you'll waste 30 minutes in a sheet of paper. At the very best, God will give you a vision that will breathe some life back into the 90,000 hours you spend at work. Do yourself a favor. Give yourself a vision for why your job is more important than a paycheck. Give yourself a target to set your face towards. do need to say this. Work will still be hard and complicated. That was last week. Work is a gift, but it's going to be hard and complicated. But here's the truth, and none of you would disagree with me. If your job is hard and complicated and pointless, that's exhausting. I guarantee that's going to lead to 90,000 hours of your life watching the minute hand on the clock. On the other hand, if work is hard and complicated, but also Jesus stuff, he is using you to serve the world through your career. Maybe God would use that vision to breathe some much-needed dignity back into your life, some much-needed dignity back into your job and your career. Maybe your 90,000 hours aren't as pointless as you thought they were. So let's do this. I'm going to have everyone stand up with me. So I'm about to pray and then we're going to go home, but I want you to hear this, all right? So according to the way that Jesus views the world, and I believe the way that Jesus views the world is the way to view the world. And according to the way that Jesus views the world, he says the only way this creation project thing works is if all of us show up every single week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and we serve one another through our careers. That's his vision for work. If we can grasp that vision and operate out of that place where we understand how we're serving the world, then I really do believe that one day you'll die and you'll see Jesus face to face and he'll say to you some words that we've heard before. And he'll look at you and he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You were faithful with a few things, and now I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were a good and faithful CEO, and you were a good and faithful parent. You were a good and faithful salesman or accountant or administrative assistant, hopefully pastor." I think he'll look at you and say, "Well done, and thank you for your service." But it starts with us catching that vision that he gives us. And so do that this week. Just write it out. If you're having trouble figuring out how your job matters for the world, ask your friends, ask your spouse. Typically, other people can see why our jobs are important more than we can. But figure it out. How are you serving the world through your work? Write out that vision statement, and then next week, we'll come back in here, and we'll do the next step. We'll talk about how you act at work matters. So let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. God, there are these moments in life where we have to zoom out. These moments in life where we have to take the day-to-day grind of whatever we're walking through, and we have to take a step back and view it through your lens. And today is hopefully one of those days. We take a step back from the paycheck, a step back from the 9 to 5 in the cubicle that we work in, and we look at the grand vision that you laid out for work. God, I truly believe that if we can capture that vision, if we can understand how we're serving the world through our jobs, you'll breathe dignity back into our lives. You're the holder of dignity. And you look at us and you say, "Yes, you're broken. Yes, you're a mess. But because of Jesus, you're paid for. And so I don't start with broken and I don't start with mess. You start with dignity. You start with meaning and purpose. And I thank you for that." God, the reality is that we spend 90,000 hours, myself included, and we grind through all these hours, and most of the time we feel like it's pointless or purposeless. God, please shake that in us. Show us the truth. I'm asking for an extra ounce of creativity, an extra ounce of wisdom and discernment this week to figure out how our jobs actually matter for the world, because that's how you view it. So God, please do that for us this week. God, we're about to sing this song, and this song lays out your vision statement. It is the reason that you came to this earth for us. God, we're gonna sing that song. We're gonna set our eyes on you, and the more that we set our eyes on you, the more we realize your eyes are set on us. Your eyes are set on serving people like us and serving people around us. So please help us to catch that vision and do that through our work. God, give us dignity, and thank you for that. I thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, who makes this kind of lifestyle a reality and not a dream. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.